and join the company as we continue in our little series over Christmas. I heard recently about a man who was complaining to his friends that his neighbor would come by almost every night around 2 o'clock in the morning and bang on his door. It was one of the most annoying things you could even imagine. Luckily, the man said, he usually comes around the time I've been up practicing my bagpipes. But still, how inconsiderate of him. Are you a good listener? I've been accused over the years of not listening very well by you can guess who. I've noticed that when you're listening to music, it doesn't get you a whole lot of admiration, does it? Not like when you're playing the music. Lots of people admire you. And yet we all know that listening is an essential skill for our relationships, our work, and also for learning. It's also, I've discovered, essential for a healthy life in the Holy Spirit. This week of our company's coming series, we get to hear the story of a professional listener. A man who had dedicated his entire life to listening. And then when the time came, he played. He sang the song. He sang the song he had been listening to his whole life. He sat down to play the tune he had learned by ear. It's a long story, we just read it, but it's worth reading the story all the way through because we, you and I, we need to stop once in a while and just listen. We need to catch the same tune that he heard. We need to follow the rhythms of the music. Simeon learned how to listen. I was surprised to learn that his name actually means heard. It was what he was born to do. It's what he was named to do. So he did it. He listened day and night. He listened. He was listening for the future. He was listening for hope. He was listening for the consolation of Israel. Luke tells us that he was listening for that which would bring peace, that would bring light. He listened day after day, year after year in the temple. As he was in the temple, he would hear the cries of the people who came in to sing their own songs. He heard songs of prayers, the loud, happy, celebratory ones that seemed to be so loud and brash. But they were good-hearted songs nonetheless. He heard the ritual songs spoken sometimes as though they have lost all their meaning to the one singing them, and sometimes as though the meaning was so deep it resonated in the singer's souls. I'm sure you also heard the wordless prayers that came from those who wept with swollen and reddened eyes, wrung out with twisted scraps of cloth between gnarled hands that had full of pain and fear in their lives. Simeon heard the prayers of the proud, prayers of the grateful, people who knew how they were blessed. He heard those prayers, and he wept and he laughed with those around him. He heard them all. But he heard more because he listened deeper to what was being sung. He heard the responses from the Holy Spirit too. He heard the sighs of the Spirit as it flowed like wisps to go out and comfort the hearts of those who were broken, those who were hopeless. He heard the soothing songs of blessing as it played on hearts less in tune than his, but aware nonetheless. He heard the invitation many times of the God he loved to follow, to obey, to keep close, to stay awake, to watch and listen. He heard the commandment, not as a hammer on a cymbal, but as like a finger plucking a string on an instrument. He heard, somehow he heard, even over the din of all that was going on around him. And then that day came. When he heard the music shift to a higher key. The music switched and had a note of anticipation fulfilled. It's like the baton was pointed and a new singer was taking the stage. And he followed the director's gaze and welcomed the one who came to sing a new song. Then Simeon, who lived a life of listening, became a teacher of the song that he knew. He sang it into the hearts of those who came caring more than they even knew. His song was a gift to the early church. It's called the Nunc Dimittis. And the name comes from the first few lines of the song in Latin, "Now let your servant depart in peace." You and I, whenever we hear that, we think, well, he must be talking about the fact that he's going to die soon. His time was up. Because we read that Luke said that he had been promised that he wouldn't die until he had heard what he was listening for. But maybe what he was really saying in that moment was, I'm done listening. I've heard all I need to hear. I've heard the voice of the one who sings a song of salvation, who chants the chorus of redemption. My ears are full. He may be done listening, but man, he's just beginning to sing. He must teach the song to those who will sing it. And his colleague Anna, who we meet later, teaches it all to those around her, running from one person to another to make sure they sing the same song. You can't stand silent in this worship service. You can't have closed lips for the hymn they are sharing with us. It doesn't matter whether you think you can sing or not. We need to learn the tune that these two people shared. The falling and the rising. The major and the minor key. That which makes us smile and even that which evokes a tear. We need to sing. We might as well, in our inner thoughts, sing anyway. Simeon says so, and he ought to know all about singing God's songs. He's been listening to those inner thoughts from the Holy Spirit his whole life. And now he sings the song that he has learned. He takes time to learn to listen, but is it worth the effort? The Spirit rested on Simeon. Did you hear that? The Spirit rested on Simeon. Luke says, rested. Not stirred up, not agitated, not poked or prodded, but rested. Maybe if we learn to listen more to the Spirit, to the voice of God, then we too might know rest. The rest that Jesus promised. But we can also learn to sing, to play God's song by ear. True, singing is kind of problematic these days, isn't it? Maybe we know in our church there are some who aren't singing at all. Maybe they're just listening. Or maybe some in our midst have taken to singing through a mask, and that's coming back, isn't it? Because we don't want to share those droplets with anybody. And that's understandable and good for you. But the Spirit needs to be shared. The song needs to be sung. If only in our hearts and in our heads. You know, the prophet Isaiah, we read that portion today, doesn't talk about singing, though he could have. He talks about celebrating. He talks about rejoicing. He talks about shouting. Boy, that's a lot of droplets there, isn't it? Shouting. He says, I will not keep silent. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And what brings about all this noise? What brings about all this celebrating and shouting? Well, it's the new growth, Isaiah says. It's what's happening in the community of faith by God's actions. When we enjoy the company that God has brought into our midst, we spend part of our time listening. Whether we are talking about the Christ who was born among us or the guests who come because we put out the welcome mat, we need to listen first. We need to hear their story. We need to learn their song so that we can sing with them. And we need to teach our songs, Christ's songs, so that together we can wear the diadem. What in the world's a diadem? It's a crown. Wait a minute. We sing not so we can wear a diadem, the Bible says, but so that we can be the diadem. So that we can be a sign that God is in our midst and we are listening and we are singing and we are enjoying His company. Maybe what we need to be are, or consider ourselves to be, Korahites. What in the world's a Korahite? Well, simply put, God thinks singing is so important in His community of faith that He actually enlisted groups of people to ministries of music. For example, the Korahites' sole job description in the Bible is to sing to glory to God. Now, the sons of Korah were actually the sons of Moses' cousin Korah. And the story of Korah is found in Numbers 16, if you want to look it up. Korah led a revolt against Moses, and he died. And lots of his co-conspirators also died when God caused the earth to open and swallow them up and all that pertained to them. The second time we hear about Korahites is immediately after this event when the Lord's anger burned and a plague struck the people of Israel, killing another 14,700 Israelites. However, the Bible says, the children of Korah did not die. Interesting, eh? Fast forward through your Bibles and we learn something really cool. Several Psalms are described in their opening verses as being by the sons of Korah. There's lots of them. According to the genealogies of 1 Chronicles, the prophet Samuel is said to be a descendant of Korah. In 2 Chronicles 20:19, they stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. You see, the Korahites sang not just for show. They had a ministry. They had a purpose. And they realized that singing serves to refresh, to reorient our souls in ways that just simple instruction doesn't seem to do. Singing helps us love God not only with our minds, but also with our hearts, our soul, and our strength. The point is, my friends, our souls need to sing. Simeon, he showed us that. God ordained a ministry of singers to drive theological teaching deep into the hearts of His people. As believers indwelled by the Holy Spirit, we now possess the gift of singing God's song for our own and others' benefits. No one knows the souls of people like Jesus does. No one. And no one knows the remedy for the challenges of life like the Savior of humanity Himself. And everything Jesus does matters, including singing. Ah. Yeah, I said singing. Jesus sang. Did you know that? He sang with people and to people. Once a month, we sit around this table right in front of me, and I mention the most famous time when Jesus sang. At the Last Supper, Jesus' disciples sang a hymn together and went out to the Mount of Olives. This is likely a portion of the what is known as the Hallel Psalms, which is Psalm 113 to 118. Jesus, the very Word of God, led these men to singing the very words of Scripture itself, the words that He embodied. And the very next day, He died on a cross with a psalm on His lips. It matters that the Savior of souls was a singer to souls and a singing soul Himself. It matters that the One who turned hearts of stone into hearts of flesh gives us the gift of song to drive the gospel reality and its instructive implications deep into our souls. You know, I'm sure all of you are aware, especially musicians, music often provokes a reaction in people. Like the following little joke reveals, Jack said, "I stood under my girlfriend's window and sung a love song to her. She threw me a flower." And Danny said to him, "But why is there a wound on your head?" "Oh," Jack said, "she forgot to take the flower out of the pot." I mention love songs because if I did a brief survey of this congregation among those who are here, and I asked you if you and your spouse or romantic partner had a special song, I suspect many of you would say, "Yes, we do." Mind you, I've also met couples where they disagree on what that special song is, but that's another lesson. So you and I, we've heard many times, "Listen, dear, they're playing our song," right? A song that brings back pleasant memories, maybe even hints a little at the adventure still to come. Dare I suggest this morning that Simeon is singing our song? Do the words that he sings tug at your heartstrings? Do they bring back wonderful remembrances of what God has done to you as He relates to you? "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which has been prepared in the presence of all my people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." That's our song. A song that is meant, intended to resonate deeply within each one of us. A song that should be an earworm for every one of us. What in the world's an earworm? Well, it's a slang term referring to, you know, when you get that song stuck in your head and it keeps playing over and over and over again, it's called an earworm. Sometimes those songs drive us crazy, don't they? But Simeon's song is meant to restore our souls. Why do you think the Psalms are so important? Why they're in the Scriptures? What were the Korahites trying to do? What was David trying to do when he wrote those Psalms? They were helping us enjoy the company that has come at Christmas and will remain with us for eternity. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Come, let us sing with Simeon, with Jesus, and with all who have seen our salvation in Christ. Amen.